All right, brethren, let's turn in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Today we're going to begin hearing about the true order of things. This is not the order of the world. It's not the order of popular opinion. But this is the true order of God. This is the order God ordained. And we're going to start today with the wife. Looking at the wife. Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For, because the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and Christ is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now the Scripture says to the believer, thy maker is thy husband. Thy maker is thy husband. So in the garden, whenever Christ himself was making the husband and the wife, when he made the man and the woman, made them husband and wife, he was making them after the pattern of Christ, our husband, and his bride. That's what he was doing in the garden. He was making it after the pattern, after the godly pattern of Christ and his bride. You know, we saw this morning. Everything true and everything godly, we learn it from looking to Christ. Now, so the wife only has to look to Christ and how that Christ brings his bride, his church, into submission to him. And there's where you learn how to submit to your husband, by looking at Christ, looking at the church, how he has his church, his bride, in submission to him. So, knowing that, we know this won't only be for the wives. This will be for everybody that's a member of Christ's body. Everybody that's a bride, and remember that bride. Because we're seeing here the subjection of the bride to Christ, his bride. And that's how the earthly wife's learning subjection to her earthly husband. First of all, let's look at a few words about this exhortation that we're given here generally at first. He says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, a wife may have an unbelieving husband. She might be a believer and her husband might be an unbeliever. Maybe they got married and they were unbelievers and the Lord saved her and didn't save him. Or maybe she made a mistake and married somebody who she thought knew the Lord and he turned out he didn't. Well, or maybe there's a husband who is a believer who acts like he's not a believer. Sometimes us believing husbands can be more of a headache than a head. But what do you do with a headache? You're tender to a headache. You're tender to it. You treat it carefully. And that's what you do to an unbelieving husband or to a believing husband who's being a headache rather than a head. But look, this is what makes it easy. This is not easy, but this is what makes you understand it. It makes it more clear to you, is these last four words, as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. That means that this is not simply done out of a matter of human love. You're not doing this simply because you love your husband. This is not to be done merely for your husband. This is not merely a matter of morality, because it's the moral thing to do. As believers, we do everything we do. We're to do all things unto the Lord Jesus, as unto the Lord Jesus. Everything we do, constrained by his love for us, that's why we do it. We're to do it trusting his care, We're to do it submitting to Christ's government. We're to do it knowing that Christ is ruling over all things, including my wife, including my husband, including my boss, including my son, my daughter, my father, my mother. He's ruling everybody and everything. Faith finds strength not in our strength. It finds strength in Christ. So when he's saying here, you may have to have some strength to submit to your husband. If he's an unbeliever, where are you going to get that strength? It's from the Lord. From the Lord. Wisdom finds wisdom not in leaning to our understanding, in looking to Christ, our wisdom. And the more we come to Christ, submitting to Christ, it may be through submitting to our husband, but submitting to Christ, that's where you're going to find Christ is faithful and loving and caring and providing and an all-wise husband. The more you submit to him, the more you're going to see that. And that's just true now. That's just how it is. Now notice he says this too. He says, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. I sat and looked at that for a while. Submit yourself to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Christ is continually reminding his child that you're his chosen, particular, distinguished child, that you're his own bride. That's what he's continually reminding us of. Christ, you're Christ's own bride. You who know him and trust him, you're Christ's own bride. And Christ is your own husband. And so it's like what Hosea said of Gomer. You remember he said, thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot. Thou shalt not be for another man. So will I also be for thee. And that's what he's saying here. You be in submission to your heavenly husband, your own husband. You be in submission to him. And he's providing for you as his own bride. And not be for another. You just imagine if your husband came home and he said, honey, I think I've given you this illustration before, but if he came home, he said, honey, I love you. You're my bride. I love you. And I love every other woman just like I love you. You'd say, why are you even telling me about your love then? Your love don't mean squat. If you love me the same way you love every other woman, why even speak about your love? You see, true love, God's love, is a particular love. It's to his particular people, to his bride, and it's a saving, providing, protecting love. It's a love that it does what love does. Gets the job done. Saves his people, loves his people. And so he says to you, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do unto your own husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's your own husband. Now, here's why. The earthly husband was made after the pattern of the church's heavenly husband. That's why. That earthly husband, that office that he holds, was patterned. It was made and ordained and patterned after the pattern of the church's earthly husband, heavenly husband. Look now at verse 23. He says, for, this is why, this is because, this is why, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and Christ is the Savior of the body. The husband's the Savior of the body, just like he's the head, but he's the Savior of the body because Christ is the Savior of the body. He's made pattern after Christ, our heavenly husband. God made man in the garden first, didn't he? He made Adam first. Why'd he do that? Who came first? Christ or his bride? Christ did. Christ came first. So God made man first. He made man first. And then our maker, our husband, created a bride for Adam. He said, the Lord God said, it's not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a help meet for him, fit for him. This was patterned after Christ and his bride. Just like Christ came before, he's the eternal God, he's the Son of God. So he made Adam first. And then just like God chose a bride, his elect people, each individual elect person, and espoused that bride to the Lord Jesus Christ from eternity. Well then, secondly, he made a woman. He made Eve in the garden. And now this is what Scripture says. Listen to this. It says, man is the image and glory of God. Man is the image and glory of God, and the woman is the glory of the man. Why'd God do it that way? Well, he made it after the pattern. The God-man, Christ Jesus, is the express image and glory of God. We saw it this morning. The fullness of the Godhead dwells in him in a body. He's the express image of God. And the woman, the church, each believer in particular, is the glory of the God-man, Christ our husband. And so he says, man's the image and glory of God, and the woman's the glory of the man. God made that between man and woman after the pattern of Christ, who's the image and glory of God, and his bride, the woman, being the glory of Christ, created in his image. Scripture says, for the man's not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Who came out of who? Eve came out of Adam. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Christ was before the church. He was before the church. Now, he came into this earth through the church. He came into this earth through Mary, the seed of woman. That's how he came into there. But Christ was before the church. He was before, and the church is of Christ. The church came out of his side. He was put into a sleep like Adam was on the cross. And the church came out of his wounded side like as God took the rib out of Adam and made woman. And Christ wasn't sent forth for the church, but the church was created for Christ. Do you understand that? That's what this world's got upside down. They act like Christ in the gospel and everything Christ did is just all for me. It's all for me. That's not how it is. Everything that we're hearing about and that God's done, he's done it for his son. The church is for his son. What did he say of Adam? That's not good for him to be alone. I'm going to make a help meet for him. And God made a bride for his son through his son. So God's order of man and woman in this earth is patterned after Christ our husband and his bride the church. That's God's order and that's God's pattern. God's order of the husband and the wife and of the wife being in submission to the husband, that's God's order. Patterned after Christ our husband and his bride the church who's in submission to Christ. Now, whether the unregenerate world knows it or not, whether they're conscious of this or not, I don't know. Some are, but some may not know this. But because that is patterned after Christ and his elect bride, whether they know it or not, that's the number one reason that the carnal mind hates this order. That's the number one reason that they hate this order. The number one reason. It's because God's order glorifies Christ and gives him all the preeminence and declares him to be the Savior. And man's wanting to turn that upside down any way he can, even if it means making a woman usurp authority over a man. Nevertheless, he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. It don't matter what the world's doing. They're serving his purpose to give him all preeminence. Look over at Ephesians 1:22 one more time. I've done gone too many messages without reading from this verse, so we got to go look at it again. Ephesians Ephesians 1:22. God has put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. He's the head, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Now, here's the next thing. Let's go back over there to our text, Ephesians 5. Now, why is it so important that the church be in subjection to Christ our husband? Why is this so important? And then consequently, that the wife be in subjection to her husband. Why is this so important? Well, the bride of Christ is the weaker vessel. You and I, as members of Christ's body, His church, His bride, we're the weaker vessel. Just like the wife, the woman, is the weaker vessel compared to the man. Now, Satan's method, you remember his method in the garden? Satan's method in the garden was not to go to Adam. That wasn't his method. Satan's method in the garden was to go to the woman, the weaker vessel, because his desire is to turn this order upside down. That's his desire. Satan came to Eve first. He didn't come to Adam. And he beguiled her. He tricked Eve. He tricked her. Eve ate that fruit. And then she took it to Adam, and she gave it to her husband. He's our representative. She gave it to him. Now turn to Genesis 3. I want you to see something. Genesis 3. Adam wasn't deceived. Now we know that. He's a picture of Christ in that, he loved his bride. He's fulfilling his marriage covenant to his bride. He laid down his life, literally, for his bride. Now, that's a picture of what Christ did. He gave himself willingly, literally, for his bride. But here's what I want you to see about how Satan turned this order upside down. Watch this now. Eve must have usurped authority over Adam. She usurped authority over Adam. I know she did. I show you. And Adam... She came to Adam and told him to eat, and he ate it. Now watch this. Listen to what God said after they had eaten and fallen. Listen to this. Genesis 3:17. And unto Adam God said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of your wife. You hearkened to the voice of your wife and has eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Who was Adam's head? Christ was. He's the one that gave him the command, you don't eat this tree. But who did Adam obey? Eve usurped authority over Adam, and Adam obeyed Eve instead of obeying the Lord. And he said, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. But now watch this. In Genesis 3, back up in Genesis 3:15, even in giving the sentence to Eve, God shows us a pattern here, how that Christ's bride would be saved by Christ her husband. He's even bringing glory to himself in the fall, and he's showing that the only way the woman's going to be saved, the only way the bride is going to be saved is through Christ her husband, by Christ her husband. God said to the devil in Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between thee, Satan, the devil, and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Between thy seed and her seed. Who's the woman? The woman is the church. The woman is the bride of Christ, through whom this seed's going to come. It's going to start. Eve's the first one God called, and then she had Adam, and I mean Abel, and you just go on down the line, all down through the lineage until Mary, and Christ came. That's the woman. That's the bride. I'm talking about the elect of God. Christ is coming through this woman. And so there's going to be enmity now between Satan and that woman, that bride, because there's enmity between Satan and her seed. the woman see Christ himself who's coming. Now watch this. Read on. He says, and Christ shall bruise your head, and you're going to bruise his heel. Now, Christ was before the woman, the church, but he's going to be born through the woman, through the church. He's coming through. He's the seed of woman. He's coming through her. So now read on. Read verse 16. Unto the woman he said. Now you try to understand, yes, he's speaking to Eve, but he's really telling this is going to be so of the woman, the bride, Christ's bride, the whole church. It's going to be true of her. Watch this. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow shalt thou bring forth children. The spiritual lesson is this. Satan is going to cause this woman, the bride, he's going to cause her much sorrow as she's giving birth, as she's having children. Because Satan is trying to prevent Christ, the promised seed, from coming into this earth. Because when he comes into this earth, he's going to bruise Satan's head. And he's trying to prevent that. You had cases like Pharaoh, who ordered all the male Israelite children to be killed. You had Haman, he sought to destroy all the Jews. You had Herod, as soon as he heard Christ was coming, he had all the children in Bethlehem and up and down the coast killed from 2 years old and under. Why? Why is this happening? If you want to hold your place in Genesis 3 and turn over to Revelation 12. Revelation 12. Here's the Lord telling us what's happening. What was happening all that time? Revelation 12, 1. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. This woman is the church. This woman's the bride of Christ. She's having a child. Now look at verse 3. It says, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. And it says, the dragon stood, look down there at the middle part of the 4th verse, the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. That's what Herod was trying to do. That's what Satan tried to do with Pharaoh. That's what he tried to do with Haman. That's what he was trying to do with Herod. But watch what happened. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God to his throne. You know who that child is? That's the seed of woman. That's Christ. So Satan didn't prevent what he was trying to prevent. But the woman had a lot of sorrow. Now go back to Genesis 3. Now because of that enmity between Satan and Christ, Satan is trying to destroy every elect child that's born of God. He's trying to prevent Christ coming into this earth. So in the garden, God preaches the gospel to the bride. He preaches the gospel to the church. And he tells her how she's going to be saved. Watch this now. This is what he preaches to her, verse 16, Genesis 3:16. He says this. Now, he said, I'm going to multiply your sorrow and your conception, and sorrow you're going to bring forth children. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. From Eve down the line to Mary, and all men too, all the way down through. We're talking about the elect of God all the way through, those that are truly his people. They were saved by their desire being toward Christ their husband, the desire of all nations. That's how they were saved, with their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, trust in him. And it was only by Christ ruling over this bride, only by Christ ruling over his elect people, by her being in subjection to his rule, that she was saved, and that dragon didn't destroy that man-child. He came forth into the earth. She's saved spiritually from her sin, from her rebellion, and she's saved so as to bring forth that man-child. So Christ came into the world, the seed of woman, and he saved his bride. And it's only by our subjection to Christ as our husband that we continue to be saved and that we continue to bring forth elect children as his bride. It's only by the woman being in subjection to Christ. Turn to 1 Timothy 2:11. Hold your place in Genesis 3 in case you want to look back, but just 1 Timothy 2:11. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will use Paul or Peter or John, and he'll give us a commentary, or like Brother Ravi read a while ago. He showed us there, this is how God provided himself a lamb. All right, here is the Holy Spirit using Paul to declare what God said to Eve in Genesis 3:16. All right, go here with me in 1 Timothy 2:11. He said, I'm going to get to it, just stay with me. 1 Timothy 2:11, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. That's not only to the man, although it is, but this is let the bride, Christ the bride, learn in silence from Christ our husband, being in subjection to him. All right, watch. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Why is that? Because Adam was first formed, then Eve. There's the first reason. And I showed you the picture of that. The glory of God is Christ, and the glory of Christ is the woman, his church, his bride. He made the man first, he made Eve second. There's the first reason. But look at this second reason. Adam was not deceived. He wasn't the one that Satan came to and beguiled. But the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. That doesn't mean that when she sinned, that made us fall. Adam was the representative man. What does it mean when it says she was in the transgression? She usurped authority over Adam, and she told him to eat. You remember the Lord said, you hearken to the voice of your wife. That was her transgression. She instead of being silent about this thing and watching Adam do whatever Adam would do, she went to Adam and said, eat this. Nothing happened to me. Eat this. It'll be good. I don't feel like cooking tonight. Eat this. And look what happened. And now here's Genesis 3:16. This is what the Lord told Eve. I think Paul here is just speaking under the Spirit of God, he's just telling us what Genesis 3:16 meant. When the Lord said, your desire shall be to your husband, and he'll rule over thee. This is what the Lord was saying. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, in bearing Christ the seed of woman, if they, that is the church, all the elect from Eve down to Christ's day, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. You see there, he's saying, if her desire continue to be toward Christ, her husband, being in subjection, learning from, trusting Christ to rule over her and to protect her, she's going to be saved. And that's how we're going to be saved, by being in subjection to Christ, by our desire toward our husband, him ruling over us, him protecting us, him providing all for us. That's how we'll be saved. And we'll keep bearing children. It's going to be painful because we got Satan constantly trying to prevent it from happening. He can't do anything what God allows him to do, but he tries to do things. And it's painful to us, though. But God uses that to teach us our desire must be to our husband. We must be in submission to Christ because that's the only way these children are going to be born and brought up and kept is by him, just like it's been from the garden on. And so Christ is the Savior of the body. That's what he's saying. He's the head, and he's the Savior of the body. We must be in subjection to him. So he came, and he bruised Satan's head on the cross. And he redeemed his people when he did it. We're called, in Acts 20:28, we're called the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. That's who this body is. That's how he's the Savior of the body. 1 Thessalonians 1:10 says, now we wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. He delivered us from it. He saved the body. Revelation 5:9 says, and they sung a new song. That's the church. That's His body. We sing a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. And so when He calls us, you know what He does? When He calls us, it's sort of like when a husband is courting his wife. He calls us, and when He draws us to Himself, and He makes us to know who He is, that He's our husband and what He's done for us, when He does that, He regenerates us. We enter into a marriage covenant with Christ. But the thing about this covenant is, when we're, I'm using figurative language, but when we're saying our vows, when we follow Him in baptism and we're professing that we believe Christ and trust Christ and we're married to Christ, the only thing you and I are vowing to do is submit to Him and obey Him. That's it. That's all we're vowing to do. The everlasting covenant of marriage He makes with us is, baby, I'm going to do it all for you. You don't have to do a thing. I've done it all, and I'll do it all. I'll do it all. That's why, remember when Jonah was vomited out there on the shore, and he said, I'll pay that I vowed. Salvation's of the Lord. He said, I'm going to submit to Him because He's the one fulfilling the covenant, not me. That's our vow. Now, today, couples get married, and the woman say, all I know is I don't want to say I'm going to submit to Him. I'm not going to submit to Him. She don't even know why she's getting married, much less why she don't want to say I'm not going to submit to Him. She's in submission to Satan, and she don't even know it. Her heart's dark and black, and she don't have a clue what's going on. I hope you understand why it is that when you get married to your husband, your earthly husband, you say, I submit to Him. I'll obey Him, because it's a picture. It's showing. It's made after the pattern. Yeah, I submit to Christ. My rule is, my desire is to Him, and He has to rule over me, and I don't want it any other way, because I'll perish if it's any other way. And then when He calls us to faith, He gives us a new name. You know, when you marry your husband and he marries you, you got a new name now. You got a new name. And you know, Genesis 5:2. Look there real quick. I just want you to see this. Genesis 5:2. And Lord did this after the heavenly pattern too. Watch this. Genesis 5:2. It says, male and female created He them and blessed them and called their name Adam. Is that a typo? Didn't He mean He called His name Adam and He called her Eve? No, He called their name Adam. They just had one name. Just one name. And I don't want to turn there now, but you're familiar with it. But in Jeremiah 23:6 and Jeremiah 33:16, one of those passages says, this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. And it says, and the other one said, this is the name wherewith he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. We just got one name, the Lord our righteousness. We've taken His name. You know, over there in Revelation when He said, he that overcomes, I'm going to give him a white stone. And under that white stone is going to be a name that nobody knows. Nobody else knows it but you and him. Well, that white stone is a diamond. It's a pearl is what it is, really. It's a pearl. And it's like a wedding ring is what He's talking about. And under it's going to be a name. Under it's going to be a name. I've got a name under my ring. She got a name under her ring. I know it. Y'all don't know it. It's just between us. Just between us. That's Christ and His bride, though. When He marries you, you know, I am the Lord my righteousness. I have His name. I'm one with Him, and He's one with me. The world don't know it, though. They don't know it. But us, His bride, and Him know it. We know it. All right, here's the next thing. Look at this. Now, Therefore, the church is in subjection to Christ. This is why we're in subjection to Him. Verse 24, Ephesians 5:24. Therefore, the church is subject to Christ. Now, let me say this before I go further. There's a false bride. There is a false bride, a false church in the world. And this order is upside down with that church. Just think about it. Her husband can only save her if she lets him save her. This false church, where this order is upside down, the bride has authority over her husband. They say, he don't have any hands but your hands, and he can't do anything but if he wants to save you, if you'll let him save you, and all those things. That bride has the authority, and her husband can't do a thing but what she lets him do. He can't exercise his will unless she lets him do it. And that bride usurps authority over that husband in every way, and so does the women in that church. They preach, they teach, they usurp authority over the men. Their husband is henpecked, and their men are henpecked. They can't do nothing but what the wife says do. Because it's upside down. It's upside down. And also, they're not keepers of the house for their husband. Because that bride, you know who she's arranging the whole house around? The children. Whatever they want to hear preached, whatever they want to do, whatever entertains them, that church, that bride that calls herself the bride of Christ, the whole house is arranged around the children. If one of them starts running off, rebellious child, oh, come back, come back. You didn't like what we preached? We'll change it. We'll preach something else for you. We'll preach whatever you want us to preach. The whole house is arranged around the child. But that's not so of the true church. Now, wives, listen closely, because this is how you learn how to submit to your husband right here. And church, listen to this too, because this is how we learn how to submit to our husband. Ephesians 5:24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. The true bride, the true church, submits to Christ our husband, depending on Him for everything. I just narrowed it down to about four or five things. Number one, we submit to Him to save us by redemption. Now, I've said to you already, He's redeemed us from the curse of the law. He redeemed us in that manner already. There's another redemption, though, that we're depending on Him to redeem us. Listen to this. We ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. One day, we're going to be redeemed from this heaven and this earth into God's presence in heaven and earth. We're going to be redeemed, brought there fully. And we're depending on Him to do that. We can't do that any more than we could redeem ourselves from the curse of the law. Wives, submit to your husbands to take all your debts and pay them all. And husbands, this is what we're supposed to do. We're going to be talking about husbands next week. But this is what the wife does. Submit to your husband to pay all the debts. That's his job. That's his responsibility. Pay all the debts. Assume all the debts. Pay all your debts. Because that's what Christ did for us. That's what He did for us. We fail at this, don't we? We don't want to look at this and say, well, I'm going to come. I've earned a righteousness by this, so I can come to God by this. Because we don't. We fail at this miserably. But that's how it ought to be. Because that's what Christ did for us. And then submit to Christ our husband to save us by protecting us in the world. Christ is the one who we submit to. He hedges us about and protects us through this whole world. We're kept by the power of God, and Christ is the power of God. And He keeps us, He protects us, and He does it through faith. What's faith? Submission to Christ. That's what faith is, submission to Christ, trusting Him to do the whole thing. And that's what we do. So ladies, submit to your own husbands to protect you, even as you submit to the Lord to protect you. And then the church submits to Christ to save us by providing for us. By providing for us. Christ provides us all spiritual blessings and all temporal blessings. We don't earn our living. We didn't even have life till Christ showed up. He's our life, And we don't, he gives us strength to earn our living. He gives us the job that we call our living. And he keeps it all in order for us so we can have it. Really, our living is Christ. Everything we have that where we earn a living is Christ. He does it. He provides everything, spiritual and temporal. He's the vine, we're the branches. He said, without me, you can't do anything. So wives, submit to your husbands to provide. To provide. And then the church submits to Christ to save us by giving us direction. By giving us direction. That's what preaching is. Christ is guiding us through the Holy Spirit, through the gospel, through all his wise providence. He's exhorting us, reproving us, rebuking us, and comforting us all the time. In the gospel, through the Spirit, and in providence. That's what he's doing for us. And so wives, submit to your own husbands to direct you, to exhort you, rebuke you, comfort you, and obey and reverence him as unto the Lord. Because the Lord will rule everything. Our earthly husband might be wrong or make a mistake, but our heavenly husband won't. And he's ruling him, and he'll honor the submission even if it's wrong and bring good out of it when it's all said and done. Ask my wife. She can tell you that. She's seen that happen a million times. And remember this, Christ's strength's made perfect in our weakness. Isn't that what he said? The way we see his strength to do all these things is by our utter weakness. And I know this is so, and this needs to be said in our day and time. And I know y'all won't mind me saying it because you see the picture and you know what this is about. But you know, a wife who is self-willed and running over her husband all the time and a brawler with her tongue and every way else, you know what she don't ever get to experience? The strength of her husband. Just like a self-willed, rebellious sinner don't ever get to experience the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you experience that? By being utterly weak. That's how. Lastly, this is important. Just like I said before, the church submits to our husband by being keepers of the house. Keepers of the house. You know what we do? This, what we're doing right here, we're keeping the house. How do you do that? We build our lives and this house around Christ our husband. That's who we build the house around. And the true bride of Christ doesn't arrange the house around the children. Arranges the house around Christ. We want Christ to be the focus. We want Christ to be seen. We want him to have the glory. We want him to be preached. And we want to teach his children through the gospel to submit to him and learn of him and hear him instruct us in the way to go and in all these things. That's our job as the bride of Christ, is to teach the children, look to him, focus on him, submit to him, look to your father, look to your father. And so, for the wife, do the same to your husbands as unto the Lord. Because one day, the children will be gone. And it'll just be you and your husband. And if you've built the whole house around the children, it'd be about like false religion. Won't have anything. Won't have anything. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now I got one last thing. 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3. What if you're your husband's an unbeliever? And what if, well, so long as he doesn't attempt to separate you from Christ or the gospel or anything that your heavenly husband has said do, submit to him. Look here. Here's why. 1 Peter 3:1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation, the conduct of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold and of putting on of apparel. He's not forbidding a woman to dress nice. What he's saying is, Don't let it be that ostentatious outward adorning like falsehood is. That's what falsehood's all about. Gold earrings and, you know, that's what all the programs and all the fancy music and all the, that's what all that is. That's gold earrings and the plaiting of the hair and all that stuff. Don't let it be that, he says. Let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. He said, in your submission to him, show him your submission to Christ. So that, not that he'll be won without ever hearing the gospel, but so that he'll be won over to come and hear the gospel and God save him through the truth. That's what he's talking about. I was going to say something to the unbelieving husbands, but I don't even think we got any unbelieving husbands here. I'll say it anyway in case they're listening. To the unbelieving husbands, to the husbands who love the message of the law and of works, I tell you what your believing wife wants more than anything. She wants you to come hear the preaching of the gospel that glorifies Christ alone. She wants you to search the scriptures with her. She wants you to have the comfort of knowing the warfare is accomplished. She wants your marriage, to be made sweeter by you both having an interest in Christ. She wants that more than anything. Oh, I got to go to work on Sunday. She'd rather have this riches than those, I guarantee it. I guarantee it. All right, come back next time and we're going to look at Christ the husband and hear a word to the husband. All right, Eric.